Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents The Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by TJS Ceramic Studio, Serendipity Studio Gallery and Gifts, Chasers Food and Spirits, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Jesse Moffitt Entertainment, and the Sioux Falls Arts Council. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Great to have you listening, everyone. Regular slash longtime listeners, welcome back. First-time listeners, welcome, and thank you for joining the fun. Okay, for those of you that know that I've had some vision issues this year, I am happy to update you that I had my last laser treatment this week, and things are, here comes the pun, looking great. All right. Now on to more great things. Later in the show, we talk with local author Emerson Park as she returns to the show, and we mention her fourth novel that's coming out in May. In just a few minutes, a first for the show, siblings. Actor-singer-choreographer Emily K. Smith and her brother Pierce Humpke, who hangs around the stage in many ways, have been hanging around stages in the area most of their lives. They share their thoughts on theater. But first, let's pop the cork on this bubbly little show.
Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner, it's here!
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty, we can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party.
Whatever you're drinking it out of might very well be determined by where and when you're listening. My choice, a Jasper Newton, Jack Daniels Diet Coke with a lime for you, whether it's a cup of coffee, glass of milk, bottle of water, mug of beer, a cocktail, glass of wine, or flute of champagne, lift it high and toast to our good friends and fellow local theater supporters, Devin and Vicky Heesch, as they celebrate their wedding anniversary. They can be found enjoying the vast majority of productions in the Sioux Empire. We sit next to them often, enjoy their company, and fun fact about them, they've traveled to every continent. Yes, even the cold ones. All right. So I'm sure that they will be clinking glasses quite often. Cheers to you, Devin and Vicky Heesch. Speaking of cheers, which just happens to rhyme with beers, say cheers with a beer or your favorite cocktail at Chasers, West 12th Street and Ellis Road. Make sure you grab some food while you're at it, and then join me on Monday nights for Dave Holly Hour Trivia starting at 7. This coming Monday's theme, death and taxes, because it'll be April 15th.
Honorable mention.
All right, what over the past week made Dave laugh, guffaw, chuckle, chortle, giggle, smile, or maybe even shed a tear of joy? I won the Shake-A-Day at Chasers just before hosting trivia there Monday night. All sixes rolled out of the dice cup for the second time in 2 years. First time, I garnered over $600. Monday, it was $80 from the pot. Some say, oh, that's too bad. I say, it's $80 I didn't have before. I'll take it. Later, we talk with author Emerson Park. In just a few minutes, we hear about growing up in a theater family from Emily K. Smith and her brother Pierce Humpke on the Dave Holly Hour. No matter what level of arts appreciation you have, you owe yourself a favor to take in the great works at Serendipity Studio and Gift Gallery in the Shriver Building. So many great works for regional artists. If you have masterpieces of your own, Serendipity Studio would love to collaborate with you. Don't consider yourself an artist, but would fancy learning more? Well, check out their Facebook page. Find out when they have classes. Serendipity Studio, located downtown Sioux Falls in the historic Shriver Building at 230 South Phillips Avenue on the second floor.
Check out the new ceramic studio in Sioux Falls, conveniently located off Kiwanis Avenue on 5th Street. TJS Ceramics, inside Oscar's Mini Storage. We have thousands of classic vintage ceramic mold items and several new items, too. TJS Ceramics offers classes, special open studio nights, and completed ready-to-purchase items. Bisque studio time or painting parties are available. Visit TJS Ceramics Studio in person today or email tjsceramics@gmail.com for more details.
Are you an artist? Need some funding to further your art? There's a great opportunity for you through a Sioux Falls Arts Council program. The Artist Microgrant Program gives away several microgrants to local artists, no matter what art discipline you're in. Unlike more traditional grants, a microgrant is very easy to apply for. Go to artssiouxfalls.org. If you haven't done so yet, create a listing on the artist directory, which is beneficial in its own way. Then go to the Artist Microgrants page and apply online. The process is simple. Find out more about the Sioux Falls Arts Council as well online at artssiouxfalls.org.
For him, every day is a holiday. Here again, Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh, you know it. I really just need all of you to collectively say it sometime. It's always a pleasure to talk Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. Always a pleasure to have new guests on, and we have new guests. Boy, they've been on the radar for over a year, I think I first approached them and said, you know what would be cool, since you're siblings, let's have you two on the show. So we have Emily K. Smith and her brother, Pierce Humpke. How are you two?
Great.
All right. Very well. Thank
awesome. You. Great to have you here finally.
Pleasure.
And
to be here.
It's so fun to see both of you on stage, and then to know that you get a little bit more beyond that, because Pierce is always making scenes for everybody, as well as being in scenes. And in fact, you and I believe Alexandria put together that South Dakota Department of Health spot that I was in the video of.
Right.
Oh man, that was way
the
cool.
The Badlands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looked awesome. Just absolutely awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, so we'll talk about all the things that you do, but you know, the thing is, it's you are the first siblings I've had on.
Is that right?
Nice.
Yeah. So you've got an honor there.
Cool.
A badge of honor that you could wear.
Honor.
It's not surprising that you two would end up in theater. You
not
come from a big theater family. Was there a push from the parents that you should really be in theater?
I wouldn't
a guidance
say,
or
I wouldn't say it was a push. Like, I never felt pressure from them to do it. It was just kind of always around us, and so it just became a part of our lives, and that's just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah,
for me,
yeah,
it wasn't an option. Yeah. I loved it from the beginning. So
that's fair. It started for me. Mom directed a lot of plays in Laverne, Minnesota.
Yes.
And so
I was on the board one time over there when your folks were doing a lot.
Fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. Always a nice little trip, but spent a lot of time at rehearsals and just running around the rehearsal venue and then the Palace Theater that is up there. And so, yeah, I was always just in it.
Yeah.
And it stuck.
Yeah. Oh, so do you remember like the first times you were on stage?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, I would sneak myself on stage during any rehearsal if I could, even if I wasn't in the show. Like a lot of times they like I remember my mom doing Nonsense or Taffetas. Mm-hmm. And if anybody was gone for a rehearsal, I would step in and sing all of their songs for them.
Like, you were an understudy at an early age.
Always.
How about you, Pierce?
I think my first show was Best Christmas Pageant Ever, and I was around 7 or 8. And that was a good time. I remember more so the people that were in it with me than the show itself. But that was a great time. I think in the beginning, my younger years, I preferred the running around the shop.
Playing hide and seek in all the costumes.
Yeah.
And shop then, with making scenes and so forth, your full-time job, actually, at the TPP.
Yep.
But, Oklahoma, opens tonight.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, what got you interested in being in this one?
I won't be on stage for this one.
Right. But just the whole putting everything together.
Okay,
for Oklahoma.
Yeah, in general, to take on this role. So I've been with the Premier Playhouse for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just before that, the show that I was in performing, Cabaret, was kind of the first show I'd done in a number of years in this area. And so that was the experience that got me back in it. And then the timing of it was, it just worked out that there was some turnover in the within the organization. And so we were kind of reorganizing, and I wanted to be more involved with the sets anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I had started doing load-ins and load-outs and stuff, and puzzling, loading trucks and things is kind of just a weird fascination that I have anyways. And so
you're an organizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I liked that part of it, and I asked Oliver if there was that kind of need regularly, and he was kind of, you know, just so happens I'm stepping into the artistic manager role,
right,
and we would like a shop manager type as well. So we talked further on that, and it was right. I think it became official the day of first rehearsal or auditions for Young Frankenstein, which was
okay.
The first show last year.
All right. So what do you enjoy most about a different play or different musical coming along? How quickly is your mind clicking as to what you're going to do with that set?
Well, luckily I don't design the sets. We mm-hmm. have a contractor, Jill Mantrek, who's done a number of our shows. We've also worked with others. Corey Shelsta has actually designed this one, Oklahoma. Sorry, where was I going with this? Oh,
in terms of
so,
the building.
Yeah,
of it
and so
far,
I
yeah.
like that I don't have to design.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would be too scattered trying to think of the different engineering ideas of things. But I like having a set of instructions and being able to measure and cut and put things together,
uh-huh.
And executing and the spectacle of it, you know, and seeing
right.
it all come together at the end.
Yeah, measure twice, cut once.
That's right.
All right, Emily, what do you have coming up these days?
So we are getting very close to our spring recital for mm-hmm. Brits of Performing Arts Studios.
Excellent.
Yes, we are very excited. Our show is in May. Now I need a calendar, but I believe it's May 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Okay.
10th and 11th are
before Mother's Day.
Friday, Saturday, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Friday, Saturday of Mother's Day weekend. So we're very excited for that.
Awesome.
And then soon I will be starting rehearsals for the Classic Rock Cabaret with the Goodnight
Theater.
With the Goodnight
Theater, yeah. In fact, I think Goodnight is where I saw you for the first time.
Probably,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, because you've done quite a bit with them.
Yes.
So what do you enjoy, first of all, about being in the collective then? Whether in the collective or as a guest,
sure.
What do you enjoy about performing with that crew? And then tell us how it compares to all the other things you do.
Okay, sure. So I have been with Goodnight Theater Collective since season 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became a collective member, I believe it was 2 years ago, we were invited to become collective members. So it's been a real treat. The artists that are involved with Goodnight are just the best of the best.
Yeah.
They're so great.
That's true.
Like, yeah. They're just the best people ever on and off stage.
Right.
So
yeah.
Great to work with. We love collaborating with other people in the community, and it's just so fun to see the outreach and to see who we get to work with season to season, and to see the new people joining us every single year.
Yeah.
So it's really,
and,
truly
and
great.
As a member of the collective, then mm-hmm. you don't have to audition.
No, I don't have to audition anymore, which is so great.
You just go, I'll take play number 1, cabaret number 3.
If only we had that kind
yeah,
of
yeah, if only we could, like,
here.
Choose exactly what we wanted. No, it's so great, though. But, yeah, so I'll be in the the classic rock cabaret in June, which is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. And then I also do a lot of choreography for them as well. Mm-hmm. So when I can't perform in a show, I give a hand with the dancing and stuff, which is a lot of fun too.
Are you both surprised by that you have the different things you're interested in, but also that there's just this natural draw, it seems, for people that are involved in theater that, oh, well, I'm not in the cast. However, and then you do something else along with it, some form of the tech.
It's like any way to get involved and just to be a part of it and to be able to work with so many great people.
That's the hope always. Yeah. But that's community theater done right, you know, when you have that kind of impact and willingness for people to help out and get involved in because there's a need for it or just because there's an interest and the long-term effects are great enough that it's worth getting into, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the biggest or favorite role you've had so far?
In recent years, it would probably be Snoopy in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. That was so much fun.
I have so many people tell me when they see you again, and oh, she was Snoopy. That's the best Snoopy I've ever seen.
Aww,
so forth.
Thank you. Yeah. It was really fun. It was great.
Yeah.
And that show has been a favorite of mine for years and years because our dad performed in it multiple times. And so I grew up knowing the show and then to be able to be a part of it in that aspect was a lot of fun.
All right. What's the role you haven't had that you desire?
Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's always been on my radar.
We just had it here in town.
I know. But, yeah. I missed that performance, but we did it in college and I was not Mary because he was Jesus. So that wouldn't have probably worked out very well.
Familiarity.
But he was amazing. So I'm glad that he had that role because it was awesome.
How many times have you worked together, A, on stage, and then B, just by being involved in each of the productions?
So many.
Yeah, at least in the double digits.
Yeah.
Number of times we've been on stage, a dozen, I don't know exactly. But...
Yeah, we went to college together too, so we did a lot of theater with State University Theater at SDSU and PRT.
Yeah, Prairie Rep.
So like multiple shows every single year. Plus growing up, all the shows mom directed.
Yep.
And now Good Night, we've been in one together. Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Yep. That was one of my favorite roles too. That was fun. I was Schroeder.
Yeah, I recall that. Yeah. And so what's the role that you have loved? And then the same follow-up question.
One that I really enjoyed, well, besides those two just spoken of, I was the lead player in Pippin. And that was really fun.
We've got magic to do.
That was amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. The choreography. Was something I really liked about it, being able to move like that.
Oh, it was so cool.
And one that I would love to do. You think I would think about these questions more often? Goodness. Well, since we're in the theme, Herod. No, Herod, not Herod, Pilate.
Pilot.
Superstar.
Yeah.
Herod would be fun too, but.
A very good friend of mine played Pilate down in Sioux City. Boy, that's that's the thing. We love a lot of the things that entertain us with musicals and so forth. But we also love seeing when everybody expands their thoughts.
Yeah.
We can be open-minded. We can put together things that, are a little more intense and still make it, A, entertaining for the masses, but also for those that truly are theater lovers, arts lovers, and so forth, you know, bring forward issues sometimes or social things that we tend to kind of go, don't really want to touch it in some respects, but now we're all just putting it out there and it's so great to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what have you two enjoyed most about the growth of theater here in the Sioux Empire?
there's just so much, and there's so many different options for everybody. There's, I mean, there's musicals, there's like the improv, you know, there's smaller companies, there's larger companies, there's children's theater, there's education. It's just so cool to see how much it has grown.
And then the partnerships you start to make with those organizations to really have that outreach and start putting together events and
What do you guys like about our local directors? Without putting anybody on the spot, you know, we're probably going to talk positively here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But what do you think of the people that are producing the plays and directing the plays?
I think they're all very good at what they do. It's important. I mean, they bring just a realm of knowledge. And they've learned to interact with actors and designers and, you know, the people that it takes to put things together. And it's important to have heads, I guess, and leaders of those departments. But it's important to work collaboratively so that it all comes together the way you want it to, you know. And I think we do well to respect the initial concepts, you know, and like you were saying, shed light on topics that are hit heavy sometimes but are necessary. And I think I'm circling back to the question of
the growth of theater in the area.
Well, and to tack on to that, like, I feel like the directors here, like, they're willing to take chances and to take risks and to bring something new to Sioux Falls, but then they also bring back shows that we know and love. And so we're able to see that, but they take those shows and they do them in a new way that is just really fun too.
Yeah,
exciting and relevant.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's going to put their own spin on a tale, and that's a great part of it as well. And you had mentioned, you know, some of the smaller companies and so forth, like Monstrous Little Theater and the venues that people play now. It's just phenomenal to see, the book co-op's got a little play going on. Remedy's got one. You know, all these are different places that are now embracing it and making it just so much worthwhile for those of us that are arts appreciators and obviously for the artists, too. When you sit there and think of, you know, what else you want to do in theater, how about you, Emily? What's on the board or the agenda that you've got to take care of?
Goodness, that's a really loaded question. I don't. Golly, I mean, I'd love to be able to perform more. But I also really love bringing theater to kids in a way, and like, and helping them culture that love for it at such an early age, and to see children, because you learn so much by watching children. Like, you can tell them something and then they do it in a completely different way, and you're like, well, that's even better. Like, we should have just done that the first time. So it's just, I love experiencing that education aspect of theater.
Pierce, what about you?
I would like to broaden my knowledge in lighting, and I think it'd be fun to do some more choreography.
Oh, yeah.
But I would also like to hone in on some workshops and be more inviting in our scene shop. We're kind of in you know, as busy as we are, we've been in transition to align my open shop philosophy with the welcomingness, and just so trying to accommodate that space so that we can host more workshops, and it can be more of an after school program setting, you know. And
I like the open shop philosophy, and just the fact that you know, organizations, especially nonprofit theater organizations, need volunteers. And people tend to go, well, there's nothing I could really do. But, you know, my intro to theater class at Southwest Minnesota State University, we had to be in every department during that semester doing something. And I still remember my funnest time was actually in the scene shop.
Cool.
Yeah, just loved that. But unfortunately, I'm not much of a great carpenter. So I was like, well, okay, I guess we can act a little bit, do all these things. Yeah.
Well, in our scene shop, we also have our props loft and our costumes operate out of there.
Yeah.
So you get a taste of it all if you just come up in there.
Yeah. So what are the open hours now?
Well, that changes with every
show. With every show, I suppose. Yeah.
Yep. And, look out for updates on the website always as they come.
Right.
We update our calendar regularly on the website to keep people up to date with events and things like that. And we hope to do more things like that, you know, as we grow. So,
yeah. Emily, you talked a lot about, you know, helping kids. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the key to teaching kids drama or comedy?
Oh, gosh.
But just to be on stage.
Just to be on stage. I think when you first introduce it, you got to make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have to want to be there. They have to see the fun in it. And just to let them know that it's okay to take risks, it's okay to fail, and that's how you learn. And the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Have the two of you, in the times that you have been on stage together, had any disagreements in any way? Or has it always been pretty easy to flow, especially since you went to college?
Like when we were little, probably. But like, well, by the time we got to high school and college, I feel like, I don't think there was ever anything we argued about during shows or anything like that.
Yeah, not on stage.
Pierce had to miss a few rehearsals for Charlie Brown. And so when he came back, I was helping him with choreography notes. And one of the other actors in the show was like, I don't know how he puts up with you telling him what to do all the time. And I was like, I'm just trying to be helpful.
Oh, that's funny. No, it hasn't been an issue. It's positive most of the time.
Yeah.
We're supportive and are able to talk things out. You know, it's more fun to get address things from a creative side and talk through ideas and see perspectives and then decide from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is the biggest draw for you now in theater? I mean, you were involved in it because you were around it so much, just kind of fell into it, if you want to put it that way. But now, what is it that drives you both to be so invested in local theater? It's
seeing other people have that draw, too, when it kind of clicks or when you start to see them more regularly because they're having that feeling of acceptance and that they have something to do there and that it's good for them. And in turn, it works well for everybody. You know, you find benefits in everything in a well-rounded atmosphere. So that's really neat to see.
Yeah, I was going to say the people. Absolutely, the people. I mean, you get to tell stories to people. You get to sit in the audience and watch the reactions of people taking in these stories. You get to hear the stories from these amazing people on stage. Like, it just, it's so... we all get so connected through theater, and I think that's the draw for me, for sure.
How deep do you like going into a character?
I mean, I guess it depends on the show. Like Snoopy, it was such a lighthearted show. So it was really easy to like get into that character of Snoopy. But I'm trying to think, like I did a show in college about group therapy, and that was a tough one, but yeah, you had to dig deep to get that character. So I don't know. That's a tough question. I feel like it's show by show.
Yeah, I try and keep my sanity.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a method actor.
Right.
Okay. Not a method actor.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious, and I don't think I have any one specific approach. So I guess simply, I'll get into it, but I wouldn't try and, you know, create harm or
right
true discomfort, you know. And then I got to remember, I got to go home to my wife and kids every day. Right. And I love seeing them and being in a good mood.
So. Yeah, true. It takes good support with spouses, doesn't it? Because you're spending a lot of time, rehearsals, and especially, Pierce, if you're in a show as well as, you know, helping build the thing, lots of hours that. We're going to wrap it up here in just a little bit, but... I guess one of the things you've both brought it up is, and that's probably the most used word on this show, collaboration.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just so great to see how that comes about. And the other thing is, especially when we're talking theater, the theater family, the one that you get with each show, and then that just extends on and, you know, well, nobody will ever catch up to Bob because he's been in, I don't even want to talk about how many he's been in because I will misquote and he will correct me immediately. Yeah. Right. Then. All right. So let's ask the fun question then. When you are not part of the arts and entertainment world, what do you like to be entertained by?
I love movies. I love watching movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to them to enjoy them. My girls, we love to have movie nights at home. But I also just really like going for walks and being out in nature and enjoying some sunshine.
Yeah. Which we finally had today.
I know, right? So
you find we're more alike than you might even think because I was going to say that too. Going on walks. We got two dogs at home, two kids. And we love going on walks, spending time outside, listening to music. I like watching movies too, but playing outside is a big one.
All right. Do either of you karaoke?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, okay. Go-to song.
Oh, gall. Used to be Before He Cheats, but I feel like I need to get a new one in the mix. It's been a while since I've had a chance to go karaoke.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name of it.
Well, if you want to sing part of it, go ahead.
All right. I'm a rocket ship on my way to Mars on a collision course. I am
Queen.
A satellite.
Right. Yeah.
There we go.
Don't stop me now.
Don't stop me now. My gosh.
That's a good one.
Great choices. Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm a little more old school. I've got two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear them.
Bobby Darin, Mac the Knife.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Frank Sinatra, Luck Be a Lady.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Those are my go to.
Right on.
Great. Yeah.
I try to expand every once in a while when I go there, and it's like, okay, I'll give
as
one more.
Good, right.
Yeah, when you go with the ones that you know. So start with that always.
Yep. Don't try.
And I always hate when people, I've not done this one before, so it's karaoke. We don't care.
Yeah.
All right. Any other fun stuff we should know about the two of you?
I don't know.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Book, yeah.
I mean, Hair is after Oklahoma, so... Mm-hmm. That'll be fun. And then kids camps after that. The summer's full. We got Wizard of Oz for the Penguin Project.
Oh.
James and the Giant Peach. And Frog and Toad for the kids camps.
Yeah. We have a lot of really fun kids camps at our studio this summer, too. So
wonderful.
Check out the website. Yeah.
Well, and give me
Finding
the website,
Nemo,
then.
BritzaPerformingArts.com.
There we go.
Yeah.
Spell it for them.
BRITZA.
Okay.
Performing Arts.
There we go. Someone put an S in there. And
right. What?
Where is it? Yeah. All right. Emily K. Smith and Pierce Humpke, the first pair of siblings. Woo-hoo. On the Dave Holly Hour. Thank you so much for taking the time out to be on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Comedy magician and hypnotist Jesse Moffitt's right. He can't play the piano, but he can sure entertain crowds with his amazing magic and clever quips. His shows always make the participants the stars, especially when they've fallen asleep on stage. They've been hypnotized. Are you the party planner in your group? then you owe it to your group to make the event magical, even if it puts you to sleep. Here's how.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's JESSEMOFFITT. Or call 605-929-0964.
Check out the new ceramic studio in Sioux Falls, conveniently located off Kiwanis Avenue on 5th Street. TJS Ceramics, inside Oscar's Mini Storage. Bisque, Studio Time, painting parties, and finished items are available. Visit TJS Ceramic Studio in Sioux Falls today.
Once again, Dave Holland.
Welcome back, everyone. Oh, I'm seriously, one of these days, I'm just going to get a collective group and have them all say it together, record it, and then I won't have to say it each time. But that would blow the fun of this then, wouldn't it? So it's always a pleasure to talk Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. I always like to say when we have a new guest on, it's a pleasure, but it's also a pleasure to have somebody back with us, our local author, Emerson Park. How are you?
Woohoo! I'm doing good.
Yes, you are.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always appreciate it when you come into the studio. You know, the first time... the first time we got together was down at our wine bar.
Yes.
And then the next time when I had moved the studio into here, you didn't realize that my address was Sioux Falls. Yeah.
Oh, you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, you put it in your GPS, 1506 South Center, and you're driving around T going, where the hell is it?
Yep, I did. This time I came right to you and I was early.
Yes, you did. You were early even. So congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah, and that means that the next time that you come here then, that means that'll be the third time you've been here, which means you can just walk in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't need to have me greet you.
I can start this without you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, come on in. What the heck? Especially since you bring Jack Daniels. God bless you.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Another book.
Yes.
Roots.
This one is...
of his evil.
Yes. Roots of his evil. This one is kind of been pushed by a lot of readers because it ties with my first one.
Mm-hmm.
So they liked the bad guy in that and they wanted more from him or figure out who he was. So here they go. They're giving them what they want.
All right. And is this out on the bookshelves or on Amazon? Where is it?
Will it be here in just May 13th.
May 13th. Okay.
Yes, and it'll be available locally at, you know, like
the usual spots. Bills, yeah.
Yep. And Zooks and Tea. And then it'll be Barnes and Noble and Amazon.
Okay. So. All right. So it goes back to book one.
Yes.
All right. In what ways?
Okay.
Was it easier to think character, what the character is going to do?
To be honest, I thought this was one of the harder books to write because I had already laid it all out in the first one. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was going to revisit it. So I had to be true to the characters and true to the timeline, true to the story. So it was tough. However, I disliked him just as much as my readers. So it was easy to, you know, give them more of him. So, yeah.
Let's make him even more sinister.
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm sorry because of, having had some eye surgery earlier this morning that I can't read a passage of it today.
I know. Your voice would be great with it.
I know, because I was thinking like that Keith Morrison type thing from Dateline.
Yeah.
Oh. And then what? What makes you continue to write then?
I love it. I enjoy creating the story and seeing where it'll go. I sometimes start with an idea and it just changes because of the characters or how they, like, he wouldn't say that, he wouldn't do that. And then it changes the course of what my thought process is. And that to me is fun and exciting, you know, keeps me wanting to do it because. And then, you know, of course, the readers and everybody loving it, that does help too. So,
yeah, that's a great testament.
Yes.
That you come out before and people are wanting you to bring back somebody from book one.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
That's a good pat on the back. And what is the process for you? I know one little thing you do.
Yes.
You actually write it down.
Yes. So,
a pen?
Yes. Like, I'm going to take
paper?
This pen
Well, it's for you.
Because I think this is a pretty nice writing pen.
And so, it's also a stylus for when you move over to the tablet. Then.
When I move. Yeah. Yeah. When I grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I start with writing it all because I feel like creativity flows better for me that way. I don't, like, once I'm got a good nugget of the book done, then I don't write anymore. Then it's all typing because I think I will lose track where I'm at or make a mess of things. But I initially start with the pen and paper and write wherever I am.
Yeah. So. What was it about this character that you decided to, after, you know, the fans were asking for it and you kind of go, okay, and you get into it, and did he change at all?
No, I think he got worse.
just by changing, did or got worse was the change.
Yeah, I feel like he's only touched a little bit in the first book. Like, we know how bad he is because he had a relationship with this gal's mom. We don't really know. Everybody was like, what's this? It's a modern day brothel is what he has in the back of his home. And everybody was like, where did this come? Everyone wanted to know more about, how do you start this? Where does this, and why does his wife just allow this? And so it was kind of fun to go, I have to make him even worse than he was in book one. And then I get to kind of give some reasonings behind what he does. So
how much worse is he? Scale of 1 to 10.
I wouldn't say he's the devil, but he's, I wouldn't like him. It's just an 8. I don't know.
How about other characters that you brought in now?
I really tried to explain his wife because she sticks with him and stays married to him for years and years and years. And once this all information is out in the public, people are going, why? Why would you stay with him? So I tried to explain who she was, you know, and gave her a background so that you understand why she allowed this to happen and go along with it, actually. Mm-hmm. So that was a fun character because she gets redemption. Like, you know, that's why we read and watch movies, is when everything comes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was great. That was fun to write. And I enjoyed her. She's got a good heart. So
any other characters that you built into this then?
Yes. Then I brought in a couple sisters that, both have had some sort of a relationship with this man, and his name's Pastor Tony. And they, not necessarily the same type of relationship, but so eventually the women all meet together and kind of build a little team, you know. So they were fun to write too. Just, you know, it's always fun to write. I would say the hardest parts for me to write are the little bit more intimate scenes, but mm-hmm. I love writing the fight scenes, the arguing, because you imagine those feelings and how upset you would be if it actually happened to you. So
now, are you one that when you argue in real life, you say everything that you wish you had, or are you one of those like me that afterward you're like, you know, if I just said this, then I wouldn't, you know, and there's so many things you wish you had said.
I say zero.
Well, see, that's why I bring this up, because I'm pretty close to that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go, oh, you're bringing conflict. I'm out of here. Yeah. So it's actually kind of fun to write
so that you get to let loose on that then.
And I get to go, I write it one time and then I go, ooh, I got something better she could say. So then I go back and I do it again. So really, I get to really prove, you know, that I can argue and win an argument. In real life, I win zero and I say zero.
When it comes to rewriting, is it something that you go, especially if it comes from somebody else saying, I think you should really rewrite this. Are you like, okay, hey, thanks? Or is it like, oh, I want to stick with it, though. I mean, those were my thoughts.
Well, my editor's done that. I would say, like, this last time she came back with, you know, her ideas of things I need to expand on or change a little bit. And honestly, it's just like that old little saying our parents used to say, sleep on it. So a lot of times I'll be like, oh! And then I think about it and I'm like, she does have a point. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I need to expand a little bit, but I won't do it like she wanted me to expand on a intimate scene And I was like, I don't know. I think they'll just leave it to the imagination. But I did it more in the lady's feelings versus the actual what was happening.
The physicality
right.
of it. Okay.
Because yeah. I was like, I just can't. It makes me blush. I don't know. So when people tell me, I do listen. If it's going to change a character or how they are throughout the story, I necessarily don't. But I will. That's why I have like readers, advanced readers, so that they can tell me, I don't know if that's believable. I don't see that happening. I love that part. So,
Do you have people that have taken a look at it already and read it besides your editor and, give you compliments on it, and give you something to say that's been reviewed by X and here's the words that people are saying about it. So
I know. And that does help. I start with I did four beta readers, and they're just like a beta tester. They go, it's rough, and they look at it, and they are really the ones that tell me, go here, go with this. And then after that, then I go to my editor. And then after my editor, I usually find about 20, 25 ARC readers. They're advanced copy readers or advanced review copy. And they give you the feedback on the finished product and tell you if they like it or not, or, you know. And a lot of times you find people that have liked your first couple books.
Right.
They'll tend to like your voice and follow, you know, and appreciate the next. So, yeah.
All right. So this goes back to book one. This is book four. And will we see this character again?
Most likely, yes.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you're going to want me to stop
on it, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if the readers are calling for it,
yep,
you write it.
Yeah. I might have to. And while they're still fresh in my mind, I thought maybe I should. Because now they're alive.
Okay. You know? So is this a case where that, you've got this right now and you're already thinking that there could be more from this character, especially? Do you jot down your notes and so forth and come back to them later if you need?
Yes. Yeah. So what I'm doing right now with the reviewers when they're done, I said, what happens next? What do you see happening? And so a lot of them have told me and I take it into account, but I have in my head what I think's going to happen. But I like that because then I can kind of use that material to hint towards it in my book. And that hooks you and makes you want to read it. So
going back to the rewrites for just a little bit, how many do you typically end up with? And is a rewrite, just like a particular chapter or just add, subtract?
You know, I don't necessarily keep track. Because I don't write the whole thing through one time. Mm-hmm. I write, keep working on it. Like if I'm working on like a fight scene and I don't want to say fight scene. They're arguing. If I'm working on that, I stay in that for a little bit and then move on until there's probably a million rewrites, but I don't keep track because I'm constantly going back.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes, like I'll be like, okay, I have 15 minutes. Let's do chapter 12. Let's just work on chapter 12 for a little bit. So I'll just pull up that. And then I try to read that, all the way through to make sure that chapter has everything it needs to have in, introduction, conclusion, the juice.
Do you write every day?
No, not. I mean, when I'm writing the book, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've kind of taken a little hiatus.
Yeah. But, rest up and get the juices flowing again. Yeah.
Now there's so much other things I got to do.
True.
Like I get to come visit you.
Exactly.
And, get my
books. Got to do the whole press tour.
Yeah, and I don't really have a press tour. But yeah, I get to do all the fun stuff now.
Yeah. So. Well, you have book signings though,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do have a lot of book signings.
Any that are coming up soon?
No, they're all after the release of the book. The first one will be the day after, and that'll be at Lori Bells and Tea.
Okay. Yeah.
That's always fun.
And the date again that it comes out?
May 13th. It's a Monday.
Okay. I was looking at the calendar for something earlier this week. This is like, ooh, that's a Friday the 13th this year. So I was just wondering if it was Friday the 13th.
I should have done something like that.
Oh, my. Well, see,
I get so excited. I can't even contain myself. I'm like, let's get going. So
when you do write, you've started off with your pen on paper.
Yep.
before you move over and switch it up and type it in. What are the thoughts between times? Like, oh, I'm on the downslope.
Yes. Or I would say, like, for this book, I would say for several of my books, when I write it, I write it. And then I go, I got to add more juice, or I got to add more believable stuff. So then I feel like I go back. So
or for your editor, more steam.
Yes. So I feel like that's part of the rewrites. I go back and I do that. And that's usually like when I'm out for a walk. I always tell people, I remember when I came up with a character, Pastor Tony, I was on a walk, it was during COVID, and I remember going, okay, who is like one person in every community that people respect or wouldn't think would do this nasty lifestyle? And I was like, a pastor. And so, I mean, like, and I'm like, I feel bad because I remember where I was on that walk and he was born. And now he's got a life of his own. So, yeah.
Well, you basically started writing during COVID.
Yes.
I mean, this is where it all came about, started with your first book. What have you learned in the process of writing since the first book? What have you learned about yourself in that time as well?
Probably, I mean, a lot. I would say one of the interesting things that I've learned is when I wrote my first book, I didn't write it for anybody else. I didn't write it. I wrote it for me. I wrote it just for fun. Just enjoyed every piece of it. And then my girlfriend went, oh, you know, you should make that into an actual book, you know, so that you can. And I'm like, okay. She goes, I think people would read it. Okay. And it just kept going. It just kept snowballing. So I think what I think is interesting now is what I didn't know my first one I was doing right, like all the hooking and the, you know, like people always said at the end of my chapter, I'm always like, oh, now I got to turn the page and read the next chapter. And I didn't know I was doing that, like, to hook you. I was just, that's how I wrote. And now I read, you know, these author self-help book, whatever. And I'm like, oh, I was doing that already. So I think that's what's interesting is that some of it's natural and some of it's not. The marketing part.
Yeah. But now it's conscious to you.
Right.
That, yeah.
Yeah. You just realize it now. Like when I talk to someone at a book signing, I'm pitching my book to them. I didn't realize I was doing that. I'm just talking, you know? And so it's been an interesting process that some of this that's come natural is actually what you're supposed to be doing.
What genre do you feel your books are?
Women's fiction, but I always say they have a twist of mystery thriller in there just because I make so many twists and turns happen. Right. So, but they're mainly.
You ever think of other genres?
I would like to give my hand at a little rom-com. That's because I do think I like my books are dark and my real life, my personality is
completely
light.
Different.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would like to give my hand at that. Give it a try and see how that goes. So,
okay. You remind me of my friend Matt D, the local singer-songwriter. Nicest guy you'll ever meet. And then you listen to his music and lyrics. It's like, wow, where'd that come from? And he even jokes about it. He knows that, too. Do you sometimes think that that's the way it is? The opposite is what attracts you to be writing that?
I don't know. Because I enjoy the light reads. I don't know. Because, yeah, I you'll see in some of the books, I'll throw in a bit of my personality or a sense of humor. But they're dark, so it's hard to fit that in. I guess I will say, like, one thing I do to keep it me, is I put in my friends' names in here.
Right, yeah.
And so the other night, a girlfriend read it, one of my reviewers, and said, her husband didn't like that I referred to her as a surfer boy. And I was like, so, you know, if you're just reading it normally, you wouldn't know that Chad is my girlfriend's husband, you know? But so I don't know. I guess I don't know. This is natural
for
me.
See, now everybody that knows those two, they're going to be interested in this. Oh, I got to read this.
Chad,
what did she say?
Do?
Oh, that's so him. You know? It's going to be that stuff comes out.
I know. I love that stuff. But I don't know. This is natural for me. So.
Yeah. Did you write before COVID at all?
I did. I dabbled, but I never if I started
short story or
short story poems, just anything and nothing. I mean, nothing ever was finished, or did I go back and rewrite it or play with it? I mean, I did get the folder out the other day and was like, because it's an actual folder. I don't even know if I did all of it on a computer, but just to look at it to see if any of it had any to it. But
when you have finished a book and it comes out,
yes,
and you can flip it page by page, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God. I just, like, I smell it. And then I look at it and I go, I wrote that word. I wrote that word, you know? So, I mean, it's a pretty rewarding experience.
True. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to get a lot of pride out of seeing something when you have been published.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of self-publishing. That's kind of how it started for you,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Has that part grown, or is it still, it's just Emerson Park says, I'm writing a book, I'm doing it, I'll put it out there.
Yes, Emerson Park just decides things like that. And she would like to just, I think, you know, my first book, I just wanted to see it in print. Mm-hmm. That was that goal. The second one, I wanted to come up with something totally different, totally goofy,
I was going to say, that wasn't goofy.
No, it wasn't goofy, but like, just totally made up. I didn't have, you know, no reflection of anything in it. And then the third one was little help for my soul. And then this fourth one, I kind of want to see if it's worth, if anybody would take it. So I am going to try to see if a publisher is interested.
Yeah,
so
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
In the meantime, tell us about self-publishing. What all is encapsulated in it as you move from, hey, I want to write a book, I'm starting to write a book. And at what point do you decide I need an editor?
Mm-hmm.
Some people I'm sure probably say, oh, I don't need that, and just move on and do it. But what would be your advice if somebody wants to start self-publishing?
My advice, and somebody gave this to me when I had first started, I think I had the first half of my book done, and I said, what would you tell me to do next? She goes, finish the book. So I was like, okay. So I did that. I went back and I finished the book, and then I contacted her and said, now what? And I would say you never want to edit yourself. You always want an editor, because there's so many things that you don't see. I put wrong words in here all the time, and I can read it 100 times, and that's going to be the same word that I think it should be, even though it's spelled, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I don't skimp on that. I would do that. I have a great editor and love her now. You do that, get some feedback from people, have a couple friends read it. I mean, you need that to see, and your friends are the ones that are going to tell you that's comparable to this author, or that reminds me of this. And so I think that's fun. You know, I do want other reviewers that'll, you know, don't be my friends and tell me the, you know, hard truth, but not everyone's going to like it, and that's okay too. So
plus you can edit out those.
Yeah. <That's>
they gave me a really rough review. Goodbye to them. All right. So you mentioned rom-com, but you also mentioned the fact that Roots of Evil, that the poor pastor might be headed elsewhere too.
He might come back and face some of his ladies. We'll see.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that might actually be more than an argument scene.
Yeah, that will be. Yeah, I'm gonna have to really research that stuff.
Anything else that you're looking forward to in this writing career that just kind of sprung up out of a bad situation?
It is so fun, because I like to look back at, you know, like I said, I just wanted to see it in print and look, wouldn't have met you, you know,
yeah, true.
Wouldn't have met your wife and how wonderful of really, you know, you. So I look and I look forward to all the things that I'm going to experience next. Now I've got some good author friends that I like to bounce ideas off, and I don't know. It's amazing.
How many book fairs a year are you going to with your works then?
Every year it seems to be a little bit more. I don't even know how many I've got this coming summer, but last year it was at least a dozen. And the fun part is now I get to kind of pick and choose a few of them that have asked me.
Yeah.
And then I go, ooh, that's kind of more fun, you know? Yeah. But those are fun. I love talking to people about books. I could do it all day. So I don't know how many we've got. I've got a few book signings right away in May and early June. And then, you know, summer is hit or miss. A lot of people are gone, and then it'll ramp up again in the fall. And
yeah. How well do they sell in the actual book form versus the online?
I know. I would say pretty equal. I would say okay. Because I only list it available in an ebook form on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only place you can get it. But it's a lot of times free on Kindle Unlimited. Right. So that gets a lot of people to check it out, mm-hmm. you know, that maybe wouldn't have in the first place. So it's, I mean, around here, I would say it's all physical.
Yeah, because that's the area where my love and I differ.
You would rather do the ebook?
No.
She would.
And it's like, you know, she talks about my time on my iPhone. And I look over there and it's like, she's just.
You're still on
but
here.
She's reading.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's different.
I'm reading.
You're reading a Facebook post. I know.
I have to have the book on the nightstand and start flipping through the pages.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like physical myself.
Short chapters are better for me.
Okay.
Because if I fall asleep partway in a chapter, it's like, where was I? I know I'll put the bookmark in there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. But I, you know, you can do that on a Kindle too. I'm sure she can show you.
Yes. But I already spend enough time with, you know, putting things on electronics to begin with. So I want the old fashioned thing.
I kind of am that way too. I listen though. I like to listen to books, which that's probably the next step I'm looking at.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anybody in mind as to whom I read it?
I don't know yet.
Hmm. Okay. Well, you know, keep me posted.
Okay, I will. That'll be good.
Oh, you've been on the show a few times, so you know what I typically ask.
Oh,
at
no,
the
I
end.
Can't remember. I know.
Oh, yeah. You know, the when you're not involved in arts and entertainment, what do you like to be entertained by, et cetera, and other hobbies. No.
Okay.
But for those that have been multiple time guests, I have been asking different questions this time.
Oh, boy.
And so, you know, we're 4 months into the new year now. Are you a goal setter or are you a resolution person?
Isn't that the same?
No. A goal you can set for, hey, I'd like to have this done by the end of the year.
Okay.
A resolution, you say, I'm doing this right at the beginning of the year, and by, you know, day 6, it's broken.
Mm-hmm. Then I would be a goal.
Okay.
Because I know I'm never going to, on January 1st, I'm like, no, it's not going to happen. Can I be a list person? Like,
yes,
I like
you
to go,
may.
Like, oh, I'm gonna,
I'm a list person.
Yes, I love to check it off. Love to do that.
Yep.
So no, I will even go back and write something down that I accomplished just so I can check it off.
I laugh at you, but I've done the same.
You know, isn't it awesome?
Yes,
like,
it is.
Look at all the stuff I got
and
done.
And color code stuff too.
Oh, I haven't. Yeah. I don't do color code.
You're not color coder?
No. Okay. I could.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it. I just don't always have the right color pen.
Ah.
Hmm.
I have a few around here.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Look at all those. Oh, okay.
Love to do that. All right. And I know another big thing that a lot of people have been telling me while I've been asking, you know, goal or resolution, and a lot of them are big word people. They choose a word to concentrate on the whole year.
I don't do it, but I kind of want to.
What would you use as your word? What is the Emerson Park word?
Well, do I want to use it in every sentence?
No. Just it's something you put forth throughout the year that you think about and concentrate on that word.
Dude, that should be a pre-question. You should have told me I was going to have to answer that one.
Well, you know, there is an author that wanted everything written out that's not been on.
I was like, I didn't get nervous today, but now I'm like, what? I don't have a word. I don't know. I'm going to have to come back.
Gosh darn it. That'd be okay, wouldn't it?
Like, I don't know. Now I can't think of.
Yeah.
Too much pressure for one word.
Well, you
I
know.
I like lots of words, so.
Yeah, obviously, because you're a writer and a reader.
Yeah.
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 There's nothing wrong with that, okay. Man. I just thought maybe there's one that sticks in your mind.
No, what's yours? Do you have one?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes is the word?
No. I have a word. Yes, I have a word.
Will you tell us what it is?
Compliment.
Oh,
it's
a good
it's
one.
It's one of the great traits my father taught me.
Okay.
To compliment people and to remember their names. That part's getting different now. More difficult.
Yes, I understand.
As I age.
Yes.
Like speaking has become, apparently.
So Jack Daniels.
I haven't had any yet today. Oh, okay, come on. Okay. Of course, it's only 7 o'clock in the morning. No, it's late afternoon, and I'm in my own home, and I'm going to pour one as soon as this is over.
Yes.
Which is basically now.
Yes.
All right. Well, Emerson Park, as always, such a pleasure to have you on the show. And look forward to more books.
I will.
With more scary characters, but also a rom-com.
Yeah, maybe.
Very interested
we'll
in hearing
back to
about
that.
That we will. All right. And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment.
605-334-1463. Hot? No. Cute? No. Ruggedly handsome? Yes. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to my great guests, Emily K. Smith and Pierce Humpke, and Emerson Park. As always, the biggest thank you goes to each of you that listen, download, share, and follow. Don't forget to follow Dave Holly Hour on Facebook and Instagram. For all 224 episodes, go online, DaveHollyHour.com. While you're on that site, use the search function to look up your favorite artists. If they've been on the show before, you can go back, listen anytime to those previous episodes. As the Sioux Falls Arts Council says, together we art. As Arts of South Dakota says, home is where the art is. As I say, put some art in your heart. Remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holly day.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by TJS Ceramic Studio, Serendipity Studio Gallery and Gifts, Chasers Food and Spirits, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Jesse Moffitt Entertainment, and the Sioux Falls Arts Council. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, simply buy Dave a cup of coffee. Go to DaveHollyHour.com and click on the coffee cup icon. Don't forget to stay up to date on the show by following on Instagram and Facebook. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.